Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Behind the lighthouse for the blind in San Francisco, there was a vacant lot. At one time, a nice building had stood there, but it had been knocked down and left vacant for many years. It was just at the end of the Lech Walesa alley that came through to the back of the lot. And the alley and the lot had become a haven for drug users and prostitutes, for thieves and for ruffians. One morning, the executive director of the Lighthouse for the Blind stood looking out of his office at this vacant lot and wondered, could it be something else? So they began to think about what that might be. And pretty soon, they began to look at that space, and they wrote a grant, and then they started talking with the city and county of San Francisco, and they began to talk about putting in a community garden where once this vacant lot was. It took quite a while, as you can imagine, if you're working with any city government, to get all of the permits and to get everybody on board and for the grant money to come in, but it did. It came in and they began to clear the lot. On the first day, they cleared out over 2,000 needles. Just on the first day. And that's not even to mention all of the untold and untoward other stuff that they found. Because that had become a place for illicit sex and all kinds of things. And so they began to shape and open. And they put together this beautiful piece of visual art that would greet people at the beginning. Well, how many of you have ever been part of a community gardening effort? Yay, awesome, okay. Well, there are community gardens of every kind in the world, right? So some community gardens are quite open and nice and easy places. And other community gardens are pretty much run by the SS. I mean, they run the gamut, right? I mean, you have some community gardens, well, yeah, you plant your stuff and you do your thing. And then there's other community gardens where your rows had better be straight and you can only plant certain things. And if you are caught stealing a potato from your neighbor, they have a trial and you're shot on site. There's all kinds of things. It's really interesting. Community gardening can be very complex. But the vision for this garden was different. It was called the Please Touch Garden. There are no plots assigned to anyone. You simply find an open space and you plant what it is you feel called to plant. And if you want to harvest what's in the neighbor's plot or whatever, if you want to cut flowers or grow flowers or whatever you want to do, please touch what is there so that hungry people could come and take what they need and beauty could be brought into this place in complete freedom. The Please Touch Garden. At first, they began to find 20 to 30 needles a day still being used. Because they had made a decision not to put the entrance to the garden on the nice side of the garden by the street. Everybody said, yeah, that's where the entrance needs to go. But the board and the director said, no, the place the entrance should be is the Lech Walesa Alley, where the people who needed beauty and life and hope tended to reside. When they couldn't get rid of the needles, they tried to figure out, now where are these needles coming from? Well, they come, as they do in Honolulu, from our needle exchange program, of which I'm proudly a part. So they called the San Francisco AIDS office, the foundation, San Francisco AIDS Foundation, and said, hey, there's all these needles. And they said, we can help you with that. And they partnered and they put up, they worked and got a grant and they got permission from the city and they put up a Sharps right in the middle of the garden. They put in a Sharps receptacle. Y'all know what that is? So the big red boxes that have a skull and crossbones on them that you can safely put your needles. And they went from finding, you know, 15 needles a day to almost none. It is a beautiful vision of the vineyard. A place for the community to gather, to be fed, and to have joy. In the original inspiration for Matthew's use of the vineyard story, the problem with the vineyard was not the tenants, was it? It was the fruit. It didn't bear fruit worthy of being made into wine. Matthew uses that story to make commentary again about Jesus, about how he's trying to be driven out of the temple. And so the vineyard, this wonderful image of God's love, becomes a place of tension. As a matter of fact, for the first time ever in my reading, and I've been doing this one for a long time, I was really struck by the violence of this story. It's all through the whole story. The tenants who want to take over by power the vineyard, and when the owner sends the slaves, what do? They beat them and murder them. And when the owner sends the son, they plot to kill him as well. And as if all of that wasn't bad enough, the vineyard owner, which in this case is God in this particular section, says, well, if you are going to do that, if this is what you will do to the ones that I will send, then I will break you upon a stone and cast you out. Imagine if the people behind the lighthouse for the blind had taken that approach to the denizens of the Lech Walesa Alley. You know, it's hard to read these items in Scripture and not be affected by them, but it was highlighted especially for me in light of the shootings that happened last Sunday. And I've thought a lot about what our vineyard is beginning to look like these days. What kind of fruit is it bearing, and how do we change that? It was such a poignant thing to read the comments from people after the shooting on Sunday. And there were two kind of polls that I found particularly interesting. One was a section that basically people were saying, look, we need to do something about gun control in this country. And the response was almost so predictable that it was sad. And the response was this: if you take away my right to own every gun, you take away all my rights. All my rights. That somehow we have evolved in our understanding of the fruits of God's vineyard to believe that I can have what I want, and I want what I want, and I will have it at any price. The focus has become on the individual, on myself. And if I have to give up something, some right, then I will have given up everything. Is that the vision of the garden? Is that the vision of the vineyard? The other response was equally telling. My friend Bishop Roger out of Kansas wrote a pretty powerful piece that said, we do not change because we do not want to. Now, he surprised me because Roger must be one of the most gentle people I have ever known in my whole life. But if you read that article, you would think he was mean and kind of fiery. But he said, look, if we really wanted to change, we would do it. But the fact of the matter is this, that something, you've seen this in a number of different places, when something like this happens, we all mourn and we pray and we lament. And then we call for change and nothing happens and time goes by. And then another terrible tragedy happens and we pray and we lament and we call for change and then nothing happens. And it happens again. What strikes me about the gospel lesson that we often forget is that the folks being dashed against the stone are people. And the tenants are people. Everyone involved is one of God's beloved creation. And yet our narrative, our story of the vineyard, seems to keep evolving into a sense that I get sort of like the one kind of community garden. It's a community garden, but this is my part of it. And if you reach in and take one of my potatoes, I'll take your hand. Even worse, if it's an organic garden. Actually, I was talking to somebody this morning who was talking about the organic garden. There's no Roundup there, she says. Well, maybe there probably is. We have this sense that our goal in the garden is to create straight rows and make sure that my part of it is exactly the way I want it. But do you notice that for all of Matthew's interpretation, what is the actual action that Jesus takes? If he followed Matthew's advice, we wouldn't be here, right? Because who are the first ones who do not bear fruit for Jesus? Well, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, all of them fail Jesus. What if Jesus had dashed them against the stone? But Jesus' actions are different. Instead, he calls them and us into love. I don't know what that is, but it's very timely. Is that what it is? I thought it was the Holy Spirit dropping down from the top of the ceiling, but it turns out it's just a bird. So what if instead of shaping the vineyard for ourselves, we shape the vineyard like this garden behind the lighthouse for the blind? Where together we feed those who are most in need. The drug addicted, the hungry, the lost, the broken. What if instead of roping off our rows, we simply planted for the sake of the whole community? What if we encouraged or even demanded that our legislators make laws that benefit all of God's people and not just a few? That protected the rights of the innocent to have life. What if we stopped spending so much time trying to assert our own individual rights over against those of the greater community? What if we, like Jesus called us to do, planted a garden and made a world that served our neighbor? Our call is not to steal the vineyard, Our call is to plant a vineyard that is the beloved of God, that bears good fruit for the feeding of the world, that all things might be God's. Amen.